Genesis chapter 1, verse 26, studying men or man, mankind. Some of those basic facts of mankind, of course, would be found in Genesis, where it all started. It is not higher education to dismiss creation. It is low, and not even education. It's an error of monumental proportions. People consider themselves to be enlightened today by disbelieving creation. A lot of politicians won't even own up to being creationists because the world laughs at you for that. Imagine that. When you hold to what is clearly the only way we could be here as being the way we got here, and to be ridiculed. So this is very, very foundational. Verse 26, Genesis chapter 1. Then God said, let us make man in our image, according to our likeness. Let them rule over the fish of the sea, over the birds of the sky, over the cattle, and over all the earth, over every creeping thing that creeps on the earth. God created man in his own image. In the image of God, he created him. Male and female, he created them. Let's pray. Well, there's no way to know this except you tell us. And you have told us. And it's remarkable, Lord, that it is so widely dismissed, so widely disbelieved, with all the repercussions and consequences that come from it. We praise you today, Lord, that this is the day that you have made. We praise you that you have made us, and you have made us in your image. And we pray, Lord, we would understand and exalt in that as we should today. In Jesus' name, amen. In 1971, it began a commercial that probably you who are in this group remember. It was a margarine commercial for chiffon margarine, beginning in 1971, where chiffon margarine in this commercial was given to Mother Nature. And Mother Nature tasted chiffon margarine, and she thought it was butter. And they said chiffon margarine tasted so much like butter that it fooled even Mother Nature. At which point, Mother Nature said, it's not nice to fool Mother Nature. And she sent elephants after you, or a storm, or some such as that. Mother Nature, the lady who played Mother Nature in that commercial, she died last November at the age of 91. That was her big thing in her career. She was Mother Nature. Mother Nature is a fun caricature of nature, like Old Man Winter. It's just something you make up to personalize something in nature. And no one was originally dumb enough to think of Mother Nature as actually a person running nature. It's just a, you know, whimsical way of naming the forces of nature, like the man in the moon. I was told it was a man in the moon because you looked at the moon, it looked like a man on the face of it. And so it was pretty harmless. But one thing we have to consider is that throughout history, throughout human history, a hallmark of idolatry has been to personify nature for worship. That's a lot different than Mother Nature, just as a whimsical name, but to personify nature for the purpose of worshiping nature. God is like a beetle. God is like a fly. God is like a horse. God is like a bear. God is like the moon, the sun, the stars. And the way we are in after the fall is like if you go walking through the woods, you get beggarlized. Every little piece of the world sticks to you, and you have to pull it off. And so what's happened with nature, when man's mind has been affected by the fall, is that man picks up all sorts of little pesky lice on them. And one form of that is that they worship nature by being in the world. And Mother Nature has become all too real today. The practice of worshiping the earth. Now, a lot of people are too sophisticated to say they believe in the goddess Gaia, the old goddess that is the earth in mythology. But by practice, they treat the earth like a person, like someone that can be offended. The whole man-made climate change doctrine is viewing the earth in that way, that we have to serve the earth through what is recommended by people who believe in man-made climate change. Stop this, start this, do this, don't do that. And it's believed the earth has emotions and anger. And like in the commercial, if you make her mad, she sends nature after you. And she requires atonement. We have to cut our carbon emissions and or pay a carbon tax. We have to be atoned for the sin against nature, against the earth. So love for Mother Earth has really risen above belief in God. And it's dehumanized humans. And I'll show more how that is as we go through this. So today we operate primarily on a pagan concept of origins. How we got here is most often identified in a pagan way, either a pagan god or by just a freak of nature. And origins have been scientifically assigned to chance and chaos. We just showed up out of chaos, explosion, swirling matter. And from that, life form. That's the modern pagan concept of our origins. And so pagan science believes it's eliminated the need for God. We don't need God to create. We have figured out how it can happen by chance. It's not possible, of course, but this is the modern concept. So there's no God. And if there's no God, there's really no purpose for creation. There's no purpose for humankind. It's all an accident. And if there is no purpose, there's no God. And if there is purpose, there must be God. If a person works for a company, the company assigns you a purpose. You're working there to fulfill a purpose. If there's nobody in charge of the company, if all you're doing is working and there's no guidance, well, then you have no purpose. If God didn't make us, we have no purpose. If we're just here by accident, we have no purpose. In the eternal cosmic sense, we're just an accident. And many conclude then that men are just animals. We live and die from nothing to nothing. There's just hopelessness at the beginning and hopelessness at the end. And so when people have no purpose or meaning, they're really applying paganism, because paganism gives you no meaning and no purpose. Because that only comes from a person. It only comes from an absolute purpose, a giver of a reason why we're here. And that's only God. If you don't believe in God, you don't have God, you have no purpose. And some people draw the logical conclusion of that, that they are here on earth and there's no meaning and everything that they have is passing away and there's no purpose or meaning for their existence. Some commit suicide. But there is a purpose. I heard the story, I think I've told you maybe once or twice, of a king sailed away with his fleet. And the queen, I think it was, said, you know, to go with black sails as they left. But if you come back with white sails, I'll know everything went well. If you come back with black sails, I'll know it didn't go well. She wanted to know before they landed on the shore. Well, it all went well. The campaign was a success. Victory was won, but they forgot to change the sails. So when they came back into the harbor, the queen looked out and the sails were black, and she assumed that it had gone badly, and she threw herself off the castle wall and killed herself. There was purpose, but it was not revealed to her. She misunderstood. And many exist this way. They have no purpose. They're just in a fog. They hope it'll work out. What makes man special? Many err because man's sin has affected the world. But that doesn't make man not special. People are upset about men doing this and that. Man's a big problem. That's because of sin. We need to seek redemption, not the elimination of humans. People are always saying men should just kill themselves. We need to get rid of all humans on the earth because they're the problem. No, we need to get rid of sin. We need to be redeemed. Let's first look, first of all, at humans and animals. We see in our text a conversation within the Godhead, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Verse 26 says, God said, let us make man in our image, according to our likeness. That's a conversation among the persons of the triune God. One God in three distinct persons. And the conversation is from Father, Son, and Holy Spirit to make man. They've already made a good bit at this point, and not just here on earth. And so they're now considering what is the next thing they're going to make. And the Father and Son, the Holy Spirit, all are central persons in creation. We sometimes say the Father wills, the Son speaks, the Holy Spirit crafts or fashions what is commanded. But essentially, when we say God created the heavens and the earth, all the persons of the Godhead, we see it in Genesis 1, where Jesus speaks the word into creation. The Spirit of God is hovering over the waters, fulfilling the will of the Father. And this is the sixth day of creation in Genesis 1:26. And every other thing has been made. All other living creatures have been created. And now he comes to creating man. And this discussion takes place. There's a lot of streets in the nation where all the houses are exactly the same. Every house is exactly the same on the street. From one door to the next door to the next door to the next door. Same layout, cookie cutter houses. And somebody who comes in after making a bunch of cookie cutter houses probably wouldn't be awkward if he said, yeah, I want to make something above this. I want to make something different. And so after making all that he's made, and it's all very good, and certainly not cookie cutter, man is the crowning point of creation. And what makes man the crowning point of creation is his likeness to God. The animals, and I'm not going to go back through the verses before, but the animals were all made after their kind. Bears and bears, lions, tigers, all that were made after their kind. You have a certain kind in the animal kingdom. Animals were made after their kind. Man was made after a different kind. animals are different. The error of equating man and animals is one that is made because people do not accept the revelation of God here in Genesis. The modern evolutionary theories say that we all have a common ancestry. Man and animals have the same start. We just evolved in different ways. We evolved into higher life forms. Not all, but man has evolved from lower life forms, and now we have the ability to reason, and this all just happened by evolutionary principles of chance, really. And that explains why people keep those junk cars in their yards. You know, we all know houses where people got junk cars in their yard. We wonder, why don't they get rid of that junk car? Well, we know based upon the evolutionary theories that what they're doing is waiting for that car to get better, to evolve, to turn into something nice, to be a dream car. All those trees growing up through them, they'll go away one day. All the rust will fall off. All the oldness will become new. And so men have reasoned that this is what has happened with mankind. The smallest amoeba, the first forms of life, and they just went higher and higher and higher. And here we are now with reason. And that reason has led us to say something very stupid, and that is that we descended from animals. The animals know better than that. Many make animals even higher life forms than man. Again, because men sin, we cause a lot of havoc in the world. And so some say, well, animals are higher. No, they're not higher. Rush Limbaugh used to say, if animals are smarter, why aren't they building hospitals? If dolphins are smarter than men, why aren't they building hospitals? Why aren't they doing good like that? Mankind and animals have a common creator, but not a common kind. Animals are a lot like us in a lot of ways. They have likes and dislikes. We've learned this morning that animals fight each other, sometimes viciously. They get mad, same as humans. All our cats have different personalities. You heard some of that this morning. We both need the same basics of life. Now, I would not eat what my cats eat. But as far as eating goes and drinking water or drinking fluids, we have the same needs for those things. Biologists will even know we have similar DNA structures with animals. They'll say we share 90-some-odd percent of the DNA of a pig, for example. I was having a discussion on a long time ago at these BBS, these bulletin board systems, and there was a discussion about this thing. And someone on the discussion said that, well, one proof of evolution is we have 99% of the same DNA as pigs do. I think that's what he said, or 90-somewhat percent. That'd be like saying that a 1998 Ford Taurus and a 1999 Ford Taurus, the 98 was made, the 99 evolved because they're so much alike. No, they're both made by the same people, the same person. And the same person made the animals and us. So there's a lot of similarities. Some animals look like humans, some more than others. Some have even called some of the animals, the primates, our kinfolk. the way we used to be, apes and monkeys and such. And sometimes even the Bible points out that animals by natural instinct are actually smarter than humans. Isaiah chapter 1, verse 3, the Lord says, an ox knows its owner and a donkey its master's manger, but Israel does not know. My people do not understand. The Lord there says to Israel, I made you. I own you. You don't know me. See, that's the effect of sin. But an ox knows its owner, and a donkey knows where its master's manger is, knows where it's going to go eat. So in cases, Jude mentions unreasoning animals. Some men act like unreasoning beasts, Jude verse 10. But by act of creation, man is superior to all other living beings. And it's sin in us that troubles the world, not being a man, and animals are not on the same level. So what does it mean then? Secondly, man is made in the image of God. Man is, as we see in the discussion between the persons of the Godhead, we see that man is specially created to reflect the glory of God. After our image, our likeness, Genesis chapter 5, verse 1 says the same thing. When we speak of man and how men are made, man is made after the likeness of God. So we have that special design by God to be different than the animals. And it doesn't, when it says we're made in the image of God, it certainly doesn't mean in body. God is spirit. God is not a body. Jesus became flesh. He was not flesh. He became flesh to be like us and pay for our sin on the cross and to rise from the dead for us. He became a man. He was a son of God and the son of man. But God is a spirit. So it doesn't mean that we're like him in body. It also certainly doesn't mean we're equal with God. We can't possess God's, what the theologians call his incommunicable attributes. We are not as holy as God. We're not sovereign like God. We don't have his power. We're limited in knowledge. We can only be in one place at a time. But man, in the image of God, has a higher ability. He has consciousness, a conscious ability for glorifying God that animals and other life forms do not have. Animals glorify God by nature, by passiveness. They're made that way. They reflect God's handiwork. But humans have consciousness to glorify God. We have smartphones. Not all phones are smartphones, man. I think of that phone I got, I believe, up in the attic, a phone my grandmother had a long, long time ago. You can talk to it all day, it won't answer. It's a dumb phone. It won't get you on the internet. It won't tell you what the weather is. It's dumb. You had to dial it, rotary dial it. You couldn't walk away from it. You had to hold the earpiece up there. It's a dumb phone. We have been made by God as a smartphone. We have the ability to reason. God placed man over the whole of creation. we have dominion over all the living creatures. Is that verse 26? Where the Lord says, just make man in our image after our likeness, let them rule over the fish of the sea, over the birds of the sky, over the cattle, and over all the earth and every creeping thing that creeps on the earth. We have the mind for that. Can you imagine putting cats in charge of that? Or letting a whale take care of the ocean? Men have the capacity for that. And they're placed in dominion over all of creation. Now, all glorify God in their kind, but we have the capacity to know God and walk with Him and on purpose seek God's glory. So what is it that the image of God in man entails? What is it that makes us in the image of God? Well, you know, the Bible never explicitly answers that question. It states that we are made in the image of God. It does not say, then here's the list. You can see, but you won't get every last detail of it because we're making conclusions not from an explicit declaration in Scripture. So there's going to be people conversing about it throughout history as to what it means exactly. But it does, I think, clearly state that being in the image of God gives us a certain clear, marked difference from animals. And in fact, according to Genesis 9:6, where the Lord said that if man's blood is shed, if man sheds blood, by man shall his blood be shed, because he's in the image of God, that was stated after the flood. Every man, whether he's a sinner or not, every human being is made in the image of God. Every person on earth is made in the image of God. After the fall, still made in the image of God. Pagans, made in the image of God. And the New Testament speaks of becoming more like God, but that's in sanctification and holiness. But all men retain the dignity of being made in the image of God. We all have that characterization. God made us that way. Some particulars, though, we can make of the image of God in man. Animals will never get here. Can you imagine your dog coming up one day and there you are sitting on the porch and your dog comes up and says, I'm going to have a talk with you about the food you've been giving me. That's just not going to happen. We have the ability to think and to reason, to form rational thoughts, to organize those thoughts in certain ways and express ourselves reasonably, rationally. We have intelligence and creativity. Animals have qualities given to them by being created. They have a lot of things we can't do. It takes a woman a lot longer to have a baby and for it to grow up and be a viable, functional human being than it does for, say, like a cat or a dog. There's wonders in nature. But we have intelligence and creativity that animals do not have. We're moral creatures. Animals are not held to the law of God. All that ruckus you heard this morning in the house when the cats were fighting, they didn't sin against God. They sinned against us. They would have sinned against my wife if she had gotten shredded by them. But as far as God is concerned, animals don't have sin. Animals are not held accountable to the law of God. But men are moral creatures. We're responsible to the law of God. Animals are not sinners. Animals are creatures of instinct. We have a certain instinct to know the law of God that's in us, Romans 2 says. We have a higher consciousness. We're able to commune with God. express ourselves in communication in higher ways. As some people say, animals communicate with each other. I have no doubt. I don't think it's to the extent anywhere near what humans are able to do in the image of God. In the image of God, God communicates. God relates. God reasons. We do that by being in the image of God. Some would call it higher consciousness. And God made man in his image, which means that men can relate to God. And we can relate to one another in special ways. And so it says there, if you look back at the text, Genesis chapter 1, verse 27, God created man in his own image. In the image of God, he created him. Male and female, he created them. But there's a reason. That's not just an aside. You can't just say subjectively, I'm not a man or a woman, like the people are trying to do today. There's a reason in the image of God that God made man, male and female. You see, men are all in the image of God, male and female. But God also has a special ability and practice of relating to himself in Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, and relating to us as our God and even as our love. And so that in humans is evidenced by male and female. There's a special level of relationship which God enjoys in himself that men and women enjoy in marriage. We can share God's image in a relationship. That intimacy that a husband and a wife have is a mirroring of the image of God. You can see how far afield our current departure from the two genders has taken us, away from God and away from practicing the image of God and enjoying what God has made so that he might be glorified and we would be fulfilled in practicing that we're made in his image. And so thirdly, man is responsible to reflect the image of God. Every man is made in the image of God. Every man is responsible to God to reflect that image. The image of God was marred in the fall. We still have the image of God, but yes, it is certainly marred. It is not the pure image of God that we wish it was. It should be without sin. By creation, all things made, all living beings reflect the glory of God. It's a wondrous creation. It should bother us. It should bother mankind to fail to mirror God's glory. And we were in elementary school. We had pencil sharpeners. Pencil sharpeners we used, they were cranks. You put the pencil in and you cranked it. And more often than not, if you weren't careful, it just chewed the whole pencil up. It wouldn't work. That's not what it was made for. It was made to sharpen pencils. If it's not sharpening pencils, it's lost its function. Men should give themselves no rest until we glorify God. We're made for that. If a person breaks down the side of the road, they don't change their address to there. They do everything they can to move from there and get to where they're supposed to be. We should not have 1 second satisfaction in sinfulness and waywardness because we're made in the image of God. We're made to show God's image. My grandmother had one. I know Cindy's grandmother had one. Had a couch. Get a couch, put these big heavy plastic coverings on them. You can't see the couch anymore. When you sit on the couch, it wakes up people three doors down. It's made to be seen. The image of God is made to be seen. We've covered it in sin, but it's still there to be uncovered. And God has made us for that. In my office right over there, I have a little folder, a cache of old letters from Cindy and from me to Cindy that are, we would call love letters, I guess. They express a special relationship that we have. That began in our expression of those letters of love and the nature of a good relationship. David wrote a love letter, many love letters to the Lord. Let me close with noting one letter that David wrote that's very much consistent with the fact that we're made in the image of God. Psalm 139, verse 1, for the choir director, a psalm of David. O Lord, you have searched me and known me. You know when I sit down, when I rise up, you understand my thought from afar. You scrutinize my path and my lying down and are intimately acquainted with all my ways. Even before there's a word on my tongue, behold, O Lord, you know it all. You've enclosed me behind and before and laid your hand upon me. Such knowledge is too wonderful for me. It is too high. I cannot attain to it. Where can I go from your spirit? Where can I flee from your presence? If I ascend to heaven, you are there. If I make my bed in Sheol, behold, you are there. If I take the wings of the dawn, if I dwell in the remotest part of the sea, even there your hand will lead me. Your right hand will lay hold of me. If I say, surely the darkness will overwhelm me and the light around me will be night. Even the darkness is not dark to you. And the night is as bright as the day. Darkness and light are alike to you. For you have formed my inward parts. You wove me in my mother's womb. I will give thanks to you, for I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Wonderful are your works, and my soul knows it very well. My frame was not hidden from you when I was made in secret and skillfully wrought in the depths of the earth. Your eyes have seen my unformed substance. And in your book were all written the days that were ordained for me, when as yet there was not one of them. How precious also are your thoughts to me, O God. How vast is the sum of them. If I should count them, they would outnumber the sand. When I awake, I am still with you. That is an expression of what it means to be made in the image of God. Let's pray. Lord, we thank you that we're made in your image, and we surely long for the day in which we will perfectly reflect that image when sin's marring has been removed. But Lord, even today, we know that we have been given a great glorious gift and responsibility and duty by being in your image, Lord. We're able to relate to you, to know you, to speak to you, to fellowship with you and one another, and have even intimate relationships that mirror the image of God and the glory of God. We praise you in Jesus' name. Amen.